Well, 2012, it's getting very close now, isn't it? Up next, Barbara Hand Clough joins us. She's written an incredible book called The Mayan Code, Time Acceleration and Awakening the World Mind. And that's what we're going to talk about on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, here we go. Barbara Hand Clough is the author of 10 books and is an international speaker and ceremonial leader trained in the Cherokee and Mayan traditions. She was the acquisitions editor for Bear & Company from 83 through 99, where she published some of the new paradigm Mayan calendar researchers covered in the Mayan Code. She and her partner, Jerry Clough, led the Pleiadian Agenda activations, which are a journey through the nine dimensions based on the Pleiadian Agenda and the alchemy of nine dimensions. Her website, handclough2012.com, linked up, by the way, at coasttocoastam.com, offers monthly new moon readings and readings for the solstices and equinoxes, and she's our guest here on Coast to Coast. Hello, Barbara. How are you?
Hi, George. I'm fine.
Good. It's good to talk with you. Nice work, by the way, in your book, The Mayan Code.
Well, thank you. I'm very, very happy with it.
You know, that this year of 2012, 5 years ago, seems so long ago, and now it's right around the corner, Barbara. It's coming up pretty fast. This acceleration is real, isn't it?
Yeah, it's true. And like for me, 25 years ago, it seemed like it wasn't a very long time that it was coming, because we started to really zero in on this in the 1980s. But boy, now we're getting close.
Tell me about you, Barbara, beyond what I read.
Well, actually, what I'd like to say right now is that this is a culminating work for me, which is kind of a privilege in this lifetime, because I've written many, many books, and finally everything has all come together for me. And so I'm having a wonderful time with this book, because I feel like maybe I don't have to write anything else. I might, you know, but that's kind of a good feeling after being a writer. And my first book came out in 1976.
Good for you. How'd you zone in on this?
How did I zone in on this? Well, first of all, I've been a Mayan calendar researcher on my own and also a writer in the field and a publisher. And where I've actually written, in a couple of my earlier books, I've already written about the calendar. But in this book, I feel like I'm really dealing with what the calendar really means. And, of course, I'm one of the researchers who has adopted the research of Carl Kalman, the Swedish biologist, because there's different researchers out there with different opinions right now about what the calendar means. And so for me, when I discovered Kalman's research, finally all the pieces I've been working with for so many years finally came together into something that made sense, which is basically the issue of time acceleration within the Mayan calendar.
Let's talk about that calendar for a moment, Barbara. What exactly is it?
Well, in terms of anthropology and history and Mayan research, the calendar is at least 2,500 years old at this point, and it comes from the Maya Olmec culture, which goes back, you know, way into the sort of myths of time. And the calendar actually covers at least 16.4 billion years of time. So this is a very, very ancient calendar, which people have been intrigued by for many, many years. But now that we're coming close to the end of it, of course, people are extremely interested in what the whole thing might mean.
Now, it was found on what? Blocks? Tablets?
Yeah, it's the different calendar glyphs are all over Maya land, on the temples and on stele, which are standing stones. And then the one that has the longest timeline is the stele at Coba, which is a Mayan site in the Yucatan. And by getting the really, really long dates on this calendar, we began to realize that the Mayans had really figured out something very significant.
Now, you know, some people believe that we're going to have a celestial event. Some people believe we're going to get hit by an asteroid. Some people believe nothing's going to happen. Tell me, let's go back to the Mayans themselves.
Mm-hmm.
If what we believe might be true, that they had this ability to forecast the future, how did they do this?
Yeah, that's the most interesting question, isn't it?
Sure is.
Well, yeah. Well, in my case, I was trained in the Cherokee tradition as a child and then as an adult by Maya teachers. And I actually have experienced a lot of time traveling and a lot of shamanic journeying. And I actually believe that the Mayans actually were able to go right into the galactic center and decode the time codes. One of the things that we believe about this calendar is that it's actually sourced in the galactic center of the Milky Way galaxy. So I really think that they had the ability, and some of us have the ability in our current time, to actually take our consciousness into the galactic center and tune into the time codes.
Tell me about the time codes.
Okay. Well, what Dr. Kalaman discovered by researching the calendar is that the calendar appears to express 16.4 billion years of evolution. And then that evolution is worked out through a process called nine underworlds. And each one of the nine underworlds is 20 times less in length. Like the first one is 16.4 billion years. And then the next one is 820 million years, which is a division by 20. So each one of the underworlds is divided by 20 and becomes, therefore, 20 times less. But also what seems to be going on is each one of the underworlds, because the amount of time is shorter, time is also accelerating. So, for example, when we come up to the most recent underworld, which started in 1999, what we've been experiencing since 1999 is a very, very radical level of time acceleration, which is mostly being expressed through technology.
Okay, this 16-plus billion-year-old number he came up with, most astronomers and physicists say that the universe itself is a little less than 14 billion years.
Right, right.
So where'd we get the other 2 billion years?
Well, the dates that we're getting from science are around 13, 14, 15 billion years. As you know yourself, they've kind of been going back and forth.
Right.
And so for this date, this first date on the stele at Koba to be 16.4 billion years, to be that close to it, first of all, the Mayans might be right, and the scientists might not have it right yet. But regardless of that, that was one of the first things that got Kalaman's attention and made him think that something was going on here. And then the next underworld, which is called the Mammalian Underworld, which is 800 million years long, very closely parallels the evolution of species, the classes of organisms, which science only discovered really correlated in the last 100 to 150 years. So the second underworld, which gets closer to us in time, because if we go back 16.4 billion years, that's just too far in time. But when we get up to 800 million years, we begin to see some information in this calendar that we can actually recognize.
Now, Barbara, when you talk about time acceleration in this Mayan code, are we talking about just this incredible feeling of a quickening, a speed up?
Yes, and just a few weeks ago, scientists even started talking about evolutionary speed up, which really caught my attention. And What's happened for me, George, is first of all, I've been researching all this stuff, and then I've been out teaching it to a lot of students. And when we get into the actual issue of time acceleration, for example, the most recent time acceleration is 1999, but then the one before that is 1755, which seems to cover the evolution of industrialization. And then the one before that is like 3116 BC, which is the development of history and temple city cultures such as Sumer and Egypt. And what I find with students is when they tune in actually into their own bodies, they can feel that difference in the time of the 5,125-year historical cycle, and then the speed up with industry, and then the very recent speed up with technology. So the most important thing I think about any theory or any idea about history or anthropology is whether it resonates with you or not. I know in my case, for years and years and years, I first go into my heart and see how I feel, and then I use my head to figure it out. And this stuff really resonates with people besides myself.
Now, do you have any inclination that what might happen in 2012 could be disastrous for us?
Of course.
You do. That's possible.
Of course I do. But I don't personally look at it that way because I think that things are actually improving with our species. It's just that as we get up to this point of making a critical leap, it seems that everything's falling apart. And so I personally believe that we're going to make it, and I think we're on the verge of one of the most difficult steps we've ever taken. One of the things I like to think about a lot regarding this research is the step that it took for the first amphibian to leave the sea and come onto the land and become a reptile, which was 315 million years ago. I often think of the step we're taking now as being similar to that step in magnitude. So I personally believe that we're going to make it, but that's just a belief. I also can easily see where we're on the verge of a catastrophe.
Well, so anything could happen.
I agree. Yeah.
The people that you deal with, do they talk about the Mayan code? Do they even understand it, Barbara?
You mean my students or just people in general?
People in general. I mean, well, is the word getting out?
Oh yeah, the word is really getting out. There's a real big movement here that Kalaman first started, and then one of the reasons I wrote the Mayan code is that Kalaman, because he's a biologist and a scientist, his work can sometimes be a little bit arcane, where in my case I'm very much a more popular writer, and so one of the things I wanted to do was write about this material in a way that would be accessible to hundreds of thousands and millions of people. And the book came out in May, June, and it's really hot, and it's a bestseller in France at this point.
So really?
It's a bestseller here in terms of New Age books, but in France it's actually kind of a bigger bestseller. And so people really do seem to be resonating with this. And the important thing about this theory, the basic issue with this theory would be that if we're on the verge of a critical leap in our evolutionary development, that each one of us needs to participate in that. We need to consciously and intentionally participate in our own evolutionary leap. And this material seems to help a lot of people do that.
On December 21st of 2012, is that the push point? Is that the date we can expect whatever's going to happen?
Well, first of all, it doesn't all happen in one day. But you're also bringing up another interesting issue, which is that some of the Mayan calendar researchers look at the end of the calendar as being 2011, and some December 21st, 2012. And another reason that I wrote this book is because I'm working with both dates. And I think what's going on here is I think our evolutionary acceleration is going to complete itself during 2011. And then I think during 2012, the various seasonal cycles, the equinoxes and solstices, are going to be extremely important. So in my case, I'm an astrologer, and so I also wrote about the astrological transits in relationship to this theory. Because in the universe that I live in, if the astrology doesn't show something going on, there probably isn't anything going on at all.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, and so as a matter of fact, the astrological transits during this period, especially since 1999, are just absolutely incredible. So first I wrote a very detailed appendix about that because it's very complicated. And then on my website, I've been counseling people new moon to new moon to new moon and through the seasons because what's going on in the sky is so extraordinary.
Barbara, once we go beyond, let's say, 2012, we're into 2013, 14, 15, what's going to be happening then?
Well, that's where I got really specific, because Kalaman is saying that we're going to attain enlightenment, and which would mean that we're going to just go to a whole other level of our potential as humans, which I think is possible. But I don't think any of that's going to be possible without peace. And so one of the things I tracked from 1999 through 2012 is the attainment of world peace. And I actually think that that is going to happen. And that probably is the most radical thing about the Mayan code, including how that could happen. One of the things I bring up is the question of exopolitics, which has to do with extraterrestrial issues regarding world peace. And I just don't think there's any way we're going to get out of the dilemma we're in now unless we attain world peace. And so I actually tracked how that could happen according to the calendar. And I turned in the manuscript the fall of 2006. And what I did in the book is I explicitly said this and this and this is going to happen in 2007, 2008, 2009, so on and so forth. And so far, the accuracy of what I was able to predict even has me amazed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just amazed myself. I get it out and check it every once in a while, and I can't believe it. Like, one of the things it predicted is that peace would come to Jerusalem in the fall of 2008.
So we've got some predictions here we can talk about.
Oh, specific, yeah. And so when I turned in the book, Israel was bombing Lebanon, and it was about the stupidest thing that anybody ever could have said. And yet there's moves all over the place now to create that. And another thing, I don't want you to think I'm a pie idealist, because I think peace usually comes just because people are exhausted and they lay down their arms. So it's not that everybody's getting...
Well, you may be right about that. They're just tired of fighting.
I think that's probably the only way that peace ever comes. People just finally give up and they surrender.
Well, that's true. And those who don't continue to fight on.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, we haven't always been like this, George. You know, from an anthropological point of view, we've only been a really aggressive species, a warlike species, really for about 4,000 or 5,000 years. And before that, we weren't like that on this planet. And so I don't believe we have to continue to be like this.
All right, if I were to say I think in 2012 we're going to get hit with huge solar flares, massive coronal injections, is that possible?
Well, it's not only possible, it's just about 100% likely.
So
I mean,
sure,
because we're coming up to a solar maximum, which is not only an 11-year maximum, but it's also a 60-year maximum. So definitely we're going to have heavy-duty solar flares in 2011, 2012. And yet solar flares are a really interesting thing because I'm really sensitive to them. I'm probably more sensitive to them than almost anybody that you'll meet. Like I have to watch, I have to check every day to see what's going on with the sun. Because if there's a flare and I don't know about it, I get really upset. And then once I know it's a solar flare, I calm down and I relax. And so they affect us to an extreme degree. And it would be logical to me that solar flares might have something to do with the critical leap and the next stage in evolution, because that seems to be the case in the past.
Would you rule out an asteroid strike, that the Mayans were predicting something like that?
Well, you know, now that's where I operate a little bit on the inside, and with the Mayans, that is. And we did have an asteroid that came really close to our planet in 1987, called 1989, called 1989A. And what we did was we had gigantic ceremonies down in the Yucatan that went on for 3 weeks because of that asteroid. And the ceremonies all culminated on the spring equinox 1989 at Chichen Itza, when the asteroid actually went over and it landed in the ocean next to the Yucatan, whatever it is there, and I actually heard it going through the air. It sounded like a vacuum going sucking through the air. Huh. It was really pretty amazing. And so I would like to say that, speaking from the inside, none of the Mayan elders that I know and that I talk to are talking about anything like that.
Do you believe that the Mayans, when they put together this calendar, that they were afraid of the future?
That's a difficult question. I don't know whether I understand their mindset in that regard. What I think we all know, is they were really obsessed with time and obsessed with these cycles. And that would certainly indicate that they were extremely concerned about something.
Why does it end?
Well, it certainly would seem to be tracking the end of a whole evolutionary progression. I mean, that's certainly what I've written about in my book.
Exactly.
In other words, we aren't going to end. The Earth isn't going to end, I don't think. But the Mayan calendar is going to end. And so then the question is, number one, what does it mean in the first place? And then what might possibly happen after it's over with?
It's like when a show ends. I mean, that's it, folks.
Yeah.
It's done. It's over.
Yeah.
See you next week.
Yeah, I'm going to retire.
So they just felt that whatever will be ongoing comes to an end.
They felt that what they were tracking was going to come, I think, to a culmination point. And I really believe that what that is that we would come to it, the critical leap in our evolution, and we not only would arrive at that point, but I think the most amazing thing about the times that we're living in now is that we would also comprehend our own evolution and understand what's happening to us. And that's really what the Mayan Code is all about, and what Kalaman's research is all about, is for us to come to the point where we can comprehend the meaning of our own evolution, which is an extraordinary idea.
Later on, Barbara, I want to open up the phone lines, not only for people to talk with you about this, but also I'd like to get people's impressions on what they think might happen. Has there ever been a survey done with just the population on what they think will happen around 2012?
As you know, there's lots of books written about it, but I don't think there's ever been a survey, not that I know of.
All right, so we'll
certainly,
do our
if
own
we watch the general
calls.
Populace, and you know, we watch the evangelical movement, Pentecostal movements, there are many, many movements on the planet right now that think the world is coming to an end.
All right, stay with us, Barbara. We're going to talk about prophecies and a global cataclysm that you describe around 11,500 years ago. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, I don't know if you picked up the After Dark newsletter as a holiday gift for anyone, but you know what? You can always pick it up over the new year as well. So call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Or you can go online, safe and secure, at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, Barbara Hand Clough, our special guest. Barbara, let's talk a little bit about this global catastrophe that occurred 11,500 years ago.
Right. I wrote a book in 2001 called Catastrophobia, and it was a study with a couple of scientists at Oxford, and I'm not a scientist, obviously, and what I was interested in is how have Earth changes affected human consciousness. So it's basically a study of how Earth changes have affected our consciousness for the last 20,000 years, and what these scientists believe is that there was a gigantic cataclysm 11,500 years ago, which is 9,500 B.C., and what happened was fragments from the Vela supernova came into our solar system and affected the whole solar system as well as Earth. And what seems to have happened, and this, of course, is some people know of this as the fall of Atlantis or the end of the mastodons and the saber-toothed tigers. Mm-hmm. But what seems to have happened is we seem to have gone through just almost a near obliteration on this planet. And then after that occurred, then we had 4,000 years of survivalism and started to recover ourselves. And so when the opportunity to write about the Mayan calendar came forth, it was really fantastic that I had already written that book, because that issue, which, you know, this previous cataclysm is actually a big part of what we're experiencing now. And the reason it's a big issue is that if you work with the theory of time acceleration, the basic theory posits that what we're doing in our current moment is we're processing all this stuff from the past. And so in my own book previously, I'd come up with the conclusion that we are a multi-traumatized species, and that one of the reasons we're so violent and abusive as a species on this planet is because we have not processed the issue of the cataclysm. And so what the Mayan code is saying is time acceleration is forcing us to process this inner trauma, and that's one of the reasons why the planet is so violent and in such bad condition at the current moment.
Now, tell me about time acceleration. What do you mean by that exactly? We've talked about it here.
Yeah. According to Kalaman, we have 9 underworlds since 16.4 billion years ago. And each one of them is 20 times shorter, so that the next one after 16.4 billion years is 800 million years long. But those are time spans that are hard for us to comprehend. And so if we come up to more recent times, we had a time acceleration approximately 100,000 years ago, which was basically the Paleolithic era, when we first started becoming something that we recognize as human. And then we had another one 5,125 years ago, which is the development of history. Then another one starting in 1755 AD, and then another one in 1999. And the idea behind this, George, is that each one of these underworlds, these periods of time, has 13 stages, and each one of these stages has a certain way that it functions. And so when we're in the middle of a certain stage in our current underworld since 1999, which is called the galactic underworld, where we are right now drags up the stuff from the past so that we can process it. And this has turned out to be amazingly prophetic, because the period of time that we're in right now corresponds to approximately 1932 AD, or it corresponds to about 434 AD. So if you go back to 1932, as you well know, we're in the middle of the Depression.
Right.
Right, and we're in the middle of very, very dark times. And then if we go back to 434 AD, this is right after the fall of the Roman Empire, and this is when Europe fell into the Dark Ages. And so the outrageous thing about this theory is that Kalaman is saying you can look at where you are right now from 1999 through 2011, and you can take that moment in time, and you could tell us scope it back into the past, which is what I did in this book, in order to predict what might be happening. And that's what I mean when I say the predictions are turning out to be so accurate. Because it's
now,
just a technique, but it works.
Are you saying time repeats itself?
Well, this is another interesting thing. Kalaman and I do not look at this from a cyclical, circular way. We look at it as like a spiral that's getting tighter and tighter and tighter, so that it isn't like time repeats itself. It's just that the time acceleration factor intensifies the issue that needs to be dealt with. If that makes sense at all. In other words, what we're saying is the same issue was going on in 1932 that's happening now, or back in 434 AD. But the difference would be that we're dealing with that period of time in only 1 year instead of 19 years, or instead of 396 years. And then if you go back further with these underworlds, the periods of time are longer and longer and longer. So it's like an ever-tightening spiral that's forcing us to, like, go to another stage of our evolutionary potential.
Now, with astrology, and you're an astrologer, mm-hmm. how does that correlate to this kind of work, which has some kind of science behind it?
Yeah, this work is very scientific, and as far as I'm concerned, astrology is also, and quite a few other people agree with that. But the only way that you can look at, astrology really is circular, where the planets keep going around and the solar system goes around the galaxy. It's not a spiralic system. And so when I brought astrology into this, what I was doing was I was actually testing Kalaman's theory. Because in my experience with human beings, if the astrological transits aren't there, people don't change. Like a really classic example would be how people change during their lifetime as far as the transits of Saturn go. And so as an astrologer, we watch to see what those transits are in order to see what potential change might be happening with people. And so if Kalaman was right about his theory, the astrology ought to show it, and as a matter of fact, it does. But, of course, that was a whole appendix just explaining that one in detail. Like right now, we're in the middle of a really intense time because we've had Pluto on the galactic center. And we just had Pluto conjunct Jupiter on the galactic center a couple of weeks ago.
Well, how would that have anything to do with anything in life?
Okay, well, number one, the basic premise here is that this evolutionary time factor is coming out of the galactic center. Then the planet Pluto, according to astrology, is the planet that triggers the greatest level of depth and change within ourselves and transformation. Then Jupiter rules expansion of consciousness. And so when you get Jupiter conjunct Pluto on the galactic center, what it implies is that we're going through a very, very deep and radical level of expansion of our consciousness, which I'm really observing in people. Very definitely.
Talk a little bit about the prophecy behind some of this, Barbara. Mm-hmm. Are there some past things, again, you can tell us to point out how accurate this might have been and then go into the future?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, if you, like, for example, regarding the first question would be, are these underworlds real? I mean, can you see evidence for them? And so if you go back 100,000 years ago, if you pick up any anthropology book, every one of them is going to say, suddenly hominids changed. Suddenly proto-humans changed. And suddenly they became spiritual and they started burying their dead and stuff like that. And then if you go back to 3,116 BC, around 5,000 years ago, if you take any history book, it'll say, suddenly civilization showed up all over the place. And so there's a tremendous amount of evidence for what Kalaman is actually saying. And then also scientific proofs are starting to come in since his material was published.
All right, looking into the severe future, how far out can we go? How many years? 100, 500, 10,000?
This is what's really difficult for me because I'm working so intensely with this issue of going up through 2011 and 2012. And so I see us as being so different 5 years from now that I feel like we're going to proceed infinitely forward. But I think it's very hard to imagine that right now. I mean, we're really in the pits right now. According to the Mayan calendar, 2008 is the most difficult year of all. And then
How? What do you mean by most difficult?
Well, if you go back from 1932 to 1952, and you look at the Depression, and you look at Hitler and Mussolini, and what was going on in the world, if you get into what that was like, it's pretty easy. Assuming 2008 is working with those dark energies, you can see how that could be very difficult this year. And also, another thing is that the calendar really seems to have really, really nailed the whole issue of the financial collapse. And I don't think there's any doubt from what I can see that we're really, really in trouble financially regarding the housing and liquidity crisis.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. And, you know, they continue to, I don't want this to become the economic report, but you're absolutely right. I mean, they continue to pump dollars into the system, and it's just not going to work for us. But how did
that's significant, George, is how could I nailed that one back in 2006 regarding that crisis at the current moment. I published it. There it is. And so the calendar is actually showing that. But then the calendar is also showing that at the end of 2008, we come up to a period that's more like 1952 through 1972. So in other words, it's not all dark. It's just that this particular year is going to be really difficult. And then you say, what good is that? Well, because I had the information a couple of years ago, I was really instructing all my students to really save money and get out of debt and stuff like that in light of what was coming. So if you knew it was coming, you'd be in better shape.
Yeah, but how many people would know it was coming?
Well, you know, you'd be surprised how many people heard this information. You know, at least a few million in the United States. And then the question is, if people get this information, do they pass it on? Well, in my experience, they do pass it on.
Well, that's true, too. Barbara, you know, a year that everybody has looked at, the Mayan calendar, the 2012 time period, what if all of it is nothing? What if it's just merely a date and everything goes on as it always is?
Well, see, now the system I'm working with is not focusing on December 21st, 2012. As you know, some of the other researchers do. And I used to focus on it a lot, of the galactic alignment, which, by the way, actually occurred in 1998. The closest alignment was in 1998. And there were major significant changes on our planet in 98 as a result of that alignment. So the issue for me is, what are we doing day by day, year by year, month by month? For me, it's not just one day. My life has never been about one day, you know? It's about growth and change day by day.
Well, absolutely. We're going to open up the phone lines next hour. I want people to chat with you about this and also begin to talk about what they think could happen. But you know what? We could all be right and we could all be wrong. I don't think there's any clear-cut answer here, is there?
Oh, I don't think there's any clear-cut answer either. I think this is just one possible answer among many things.
Are other countries concerned about the Mayan calendar?
Oh, yes. This is a worldwide phenomenon at this point. This book came out in June, and has already gone into 14 languages. It's just being published all over the place. This is really a big deal. I mean, I don't know whether you think it's a big deal or not, but it's, you know, you remember harmonic convergence in 1987?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, and I was one of the creators of that because I published Jose Arguelles in order to get that information out. And if you go back to 1987, only a few million people knew about harmonic convergence. But boy, you come up 10 years later and a lot of people could see how much we changed at that point. And so this is another harmonic convergence. It's just that it's going over a progressive period of time.
Well, I'm not sure anymore, Barbara. I look at this in different ways.
Yeah,
I'm going to stick with the solar event.
Yeah. Okay, and I know, like I was in SDS and I was a peace activist in the 60s, and I fought for peace my whole life and I never thought it would come, and I actually really believe that's going to happen.
What's going to happen?
Peace is going to come to this planet.
Peace?
Peace, P-E-A-C-E.
You really think so?
I really believe...
A planet that has fought the time.
Yeah, and if you knew me, I've been out there lecturing for 40 years about things like that, and I only started to believe that was going to happen a couple of years ago. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to have massive solar flares. As a matter of fact, speaking of peace, the what let's call them the Bush administration, is attempting to build a Star Wars system. And according to the Mayan code, the reason for the Star Wars system is to shut out the universe, to shut out the cosmos, and to shut out communication with intelligences in other realms. And those solar flares are going to blow the Star Wars system.
Well, you
so
might
it's
be
not
right
necessarily
about that.
Negative, you know. You know, in other words, a lot of things that I used to think are negative end up turning out to be positive. And I'm not, again, George, I'm not a Pollyanna. I think we're just in the middle of terribly, terribly difficult times. But I actually am pretty optimistic about what's going to happen.
Well, there are a lot of people who are optimistic about it as well. And, you know, somebody just sent me a special email, a fast blast. We get a lot of those. And, you know, they said, you know, how come it's doom and gloom? How come it can't be enlightenment? It could be enlightenment. I think it might be.
Yeah. Well, I wrote a whole book about it. You know, I wrote, and I'm not only talking to you about it, but I actually really got into how it could happen and decoded how it could unfold year by year. And I really think that's what this calendar is all about. I think that they could actually see thousands and thousands. By the way, this calendar is older than 2,500 years. I actually think this calendar actually comes from the Vedas, the sacred scriptures of India. And I actually think this calendar is probably was created right after the cataclysm 11,500 years ago. In other words, I think this calendar is probably more than 10,000 years old. And so those people saw something back there, as far as I can see. But what's amazing about being alive now is we're alive at a point when this is coming to a culmination.
Tell me about the world tree.
Right, right. The world tree exists in all sacred cultures as a way to journey into the upper world or the lower world through the roots of the tree or through the top of the tree. This tradition exists in all sacred cultures. But what Kalaman did with it is that Kalaman believes, by reading the Popol Vuh, which is basically the Mayan Bible, Kalaman believes that the world tree is what's driving this time acceleration and this evolutionary factor. And this is very interesting because as a scientist, he would never posit a theory without having a mechanism for how this could be going on. And so he even goes further than that. First of all, he says that the world tree is driving these evolutionary cycles. And then he says that the world tree is located basically near Gabon. It's located where the 12-degree east latitude line crosses the equator, which is basically Gabon. And so this is really interesting because scientists are suddenly reporting that ion plumes, I-O-N, you know, like ions, plumes are coming out of that part of Africa, and they're going up into the upper atmosphere, and they're causing amazing electromagnetic changes in our atmosphere. And this was just discovered just basically in the last year. And this may end up being a scientific proof for the location of the world tree.
Now, as we get close to 2012, will scientists be gathering to go over this or not?
They already are. For example, a group of scientists have discovered a basic cycle 62 to 63 million years long, which they've identified now going all the way back to like 567 million years ago. And this 63 million year cycle exactly matches the cycle in the calendar going back to 800 million years. And so scientific proof is coming forth right now, which just amazes me.
Well, you never know. Stay with us, Barbara. We're going to open up the phone lines next. Barbara's website is called handcloud2012.com. It's linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. The book, of course, her work, The Mayan Code. Who knows what's going to happen? I want to get your thoughts on that and your questions with Barbara next on Coast to Coast AM.